powerful song. When Miss Carol sings, you don't just hear her, you feel her. You feel her spirit, and I always get a blessing out of that. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. So blessed by our singers, their love for the Lord, which is expressed through the songs that they sing. I love hearing the congregation sing as well, and it's just a big part of the service every week when we gather and hear music, sing music. I appreciate all those that work hard to make it good. Miss Carol also is the director of our Power of Praise music program. We have the praise team, but there's a specialty group called Power of Praise that does specials and different things and for big days, and they work really hard on that. They have a lot of extended practices. And she does a great job keeping that organized. Thanks for singing for us today and being a blessing to our heart. Let's get into the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16. If you're awake, say amen.
Amen.
All right, you're going to be having a good week this week, I'm sure, getting into the Thanksgiving frame of mind. And how many of you still like to eat turkey on Thanksgiving? How many people eat turkey? How many of you don't like turkey? So there's no turkey in your house. You don't have any turkey in your house except for Brother JD. He's the only turkey allowed on Thanksgiving Day around there. But in any case, I love turkey, and I don't eat it a whole lot. I eat it pretty much just during the holiday time, but I love baked turkey, and when I have it, it's always a holiday-style treat. And of course, man, pumpkin pie and pecan pie, amen.
Oh, yeah.
If you say it right, it's pecan pie, amen. And by the way, we're giving away 6 pies tonight. We're giving away 3 pumpkin pies and 3 pecan pies to whoever gets the lucky drawing at our Thanksgiving praise explosion. That's going to start at 6:30. We're going to have a good time together. And you say, preacher, what are we doing? Well, we're going to do a lot of eating. A lot of eating, man. And then we're going to do some praising of the Lord through song and some testimonies and just have a good time as a church family tonight. Starts at 6:30. Be sure to be here and have a good time with us tonight. Then we'll get out of your way and let you enjoy the rest of this week without us interfering at all. We want you to be with your families and travel. We've got a lot of people already traveling, and we miss them, but I know they'll have a good time where they're at, and we'll see them when they get back. I'm going to pick up where I left off last week. I did not bring the part 2 to this because it was Veterans Day, and the Lord led me a different direction. But the week before, I started a sermon entitled "How to Make Your World a Better Place," and I got into it, and I simply got into the introduction where I gave you 4 clubs that I wanted to encourage you to join, 4 life clubs, and I got into that. And I just ran out of time. I preached through that. When I got done, I looked up at the clock, and it was noon, and I decided just to go ahead and cut it off there versus going on into the body of the outline. But who can remember those clubs? I said, number 1, join the smile club. Join the smile club. Just be a smiler. Number 2, join the compliment club. Go around making people feel good. I said, number 3, join the fellow laborer club. Get in there and help people, and especially in the work of God. Become a fellow laborer in the work of God. And then I gave you this 4th club, the consolation club. Be somebody that just consoles people and helps lift people up and strengthens people. And we looked at some biblical examples of people, especially Barnabas, that does that. And it all went back to some guys that Paul was praising because they did something that was just so wonderful and something that is so needed today. So I want to continue. I want to be the first to admit, during this time of the year, I struggle often in the topics that I want to preach. I don't really feel like, during the holiday season, bringing the hellfire brimstone heat. I mean, it's just kind of hard to say, boy, I hope y'all have a wonderful Thanksgiving. By the way, you're going to hell! You know, I just struggle with it. I just, you know, my spirit is to get into, you know, things that are, you know, I don't know. I want to bring things that encourage. And so this morning, the Lord's led me back to where I left off 2 weeks ago, and I want to finish this thought because we need to all work hard to make the world around us a better place because the world needs help. I don't know what's going on today. I don't understand how people today have just lost this thing called manners. What has happened to courtesy? What has happened to just common manners? What has happened to people who walk in a room and feel a responsibility to make the room a better place? And we see a world today where people are losing their people skills. We see a world today where people are losing their ability to bring the goodness into the room they're in. It just seems like they're self-absorbed. 99.9% of the time when you see somebody when you're out, they're not even conscious of anybody else in the room. This is all they know. I've seen families get together to have dinner and sit at a table and not one person speak to each other. The whole table sitting here talking to everybody who chose not to come to dinner. You'd be better off to just skip the family event. They'll talk to you more than if you're at the table right there with them. Save yourself the time to travel across the country. Don't buy the airline ticket. Just text them on Thanksgiving. Wish I was there. What's going on? Is Dad being weird? Is Uncle Joe telling a bunch of stupid jokes again? I mean, it seems like people today are so just non-conscious of the world around them. And I don't know, again, I don't know how to change the whole world, but I do think that I can help you make your world a better place. I think I can tell you how you can help the world be a better place. And I said this 2 weeks ago, sometimes we have to be the change that we wish we could see in the rest of the world. Sometimes we just have to be different and at least bring joy to other people in a room, even if they're not really that concerned about anybody else's joy. So maybe you can be the difference. Maybe you can be the difference. So first, in 1 Corinthians 16, this is where we went last week. It says this in verse 17. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. We see some generous guys here. Paul said where there was lacking, these guys supplied. They made up the difference. They were very generous. But then he went on to say in verse 18, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. And so we see that Paul is rejoicing at the coming of these three individuals who were generous men and men that refreshed the spirit of everybody that was around them. They were glad that they were coming. I pointed the question at you. Are people glad when they see you coming? I mean, that's something you need to ponder once in a while. When people see you show up, are people like, oh, right. All right, Brother Jeff's here. Great. All right, Brother Frank's here. Man, the party's going to get going now. Or are people like, oh, man, Julian's here. Suddenly the room goes dark and storm clouds start to appear. I mean, how in the world do people see, when they see you pull up at the party, do they go, great. Oh, man. There's always that person that can take every joyful occasion and turn it into a funeral. I don't know how they do it, but they do it. Everybody's having fun. They'll be the one in the back of the party crying. I tell you, I just don't know what to do. And everybody, it just seems like there's always those people. Hey, how do people see you when they see you coming? And that's something we ought to ponder, because we ought to want people to be glad to see us. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And we've got to work at that. We've got to work to be the kind of people that other people are glad when they see us walk in. Man, I would hate to be that kind of person that when people see me show up, they go, pastor's here. Now, some of you, it's because you're a bunch of stinking reprobates and you need to get your heart right. Amen?
Amen.
You're like, oh, no, preacher's here. I better hide what I'm doing, you know? Like, yeah. But beyond that one exception, I hope that you're, and by the way, I hope if you're living like a reprobate, I hope I do make you nervous. Amen?
Amen.
Don't live like a reprobate, amen? Then you'll be glad to see the preacher. But beyond that little factor, I hope that people are glad, and I hope people can feel a happy and positive spirit, and that I leave them feeling good about life, and I hope that that is what I bring. I don't know that I always do, but I certainly try to, and I hope you try to. Now, I'm going to give you some things quickly, because we already went through that. I hope you've been working on joining the club. Join the club, man. Smiling more. Just work on smiling. Just practice smiling. Practice it. Go into a room. I'm going to tell you what, people will notice it. You walk into a doctor's office and sit down and just start going, people might think you're high or something. I don't know. They might tell the doctor, hey, I want what you gave that person over there. What was that med? They came out smiling, man. You smile, people notice it. I hope you're working on smiling. A lot of people say, well, I look miserable, but that's just my resting face. You ever heard that? I may look mad all the time, but that's, you know, some people, when they just have a resting face that looks angry. You look at them, they're like, And you just, we walk in, you think, what are they upset about? No, it's just my rest. Hey, you know what I think we ought to do? This is practical. You don't have to do it. I mean, if you choose to live a life that everybody's scared to death of you, that's up to you. But if you want to make the world a better place, practice, just practice your smiling face. Make your resting face a happy face. Amen? Amen? It's not that hard to do. We did it 2 weeks ago, but some of you, it may have been the last time you smiled, so we better do it again. Here we go. We're gonna all smile when I count to three. One, two, three. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Doesn't that feel good? Feels good to smile. Now, I don't want to re-preach all that, but I do want to help you with these next few points. Now, the first point in the body of the outline was actually, first point, learn to smile. You want to make the world around you a better place, learn to smile. We know that a smile is a universal beacon of peace. A smile is contagious. A smile is what I believe. I think that when you're yielding the fruit of the Spirit in a room, that a smile is a part of that fruit of joy and that fruit of happiness. And when you smile, you're bearing the fruit of the Spirit with others to yield the fruit of joy and happiness. By the way, my wife's always pointed this out. She taught me this, but joy and happiness are not the same thing. Did you know that? It's not the same thing. Did you know that happiness comes and goes and can even in a single day come and go? I mean, you can wake up happy, get a phone call from your sister, hang up sad. Amen? Has that ever happened? Or you can be at work and be happy, and your boss walk in and lay one file on your desk, and suddenly your happiness is gone. You men can get a bonus and feel happy. You get home, hand it to your wife, and suddenly your joy, suddenly happiness is gone. It's gone. Gone forever. You'll never see it again. Happiness can sometimes come in the form of a new car. Happiness can sometimes come in the form of a new girlfriend. Hayden. Got that to look forward to. You can be happy and you get a new girlfriend. You watch a guy that just got a brand new girlfriend, he's happy. For a little while anyway. Happiness can be in the form of a new house. Happiness can be in the form of a new job. But that happiness may not sustain because of that. How many of you ever got a new car and you were so excited about it and you washed it every weekend and you polished it for the first 2 months you owned it? Then after the first 2 months, somebody opened their door up at the Walmart and put a ding in the side of it. And it was like your white wedding dress with an oil stain down the front of it. Wow. Then you didn't even want to wash it again. And then that car that brought you so much happiness, the new car smell went away. Now you smell the cheeseburger that your child stuffed underneath the seat. I got a car. I had a new car one time. I had it for about a month. And I found, and I think it was Julian that did this. He won't admit to it. But I found in the back where it had the little air conditioner thing on the back, I found a McDonald's double cheeseburger. The McDouble. Crammed into it. Just crammed into it. None of my kids admitted to doing it. I think they want me to believe it was there when I bought the car. When I had little kids, I said, the next time I get a new car, I'm going to just take a milkshake and just pour it in the floorboard first day, and I'm going to cram some French fries down the heater registers on the dash, and I'm going to break out a couple of those little louvers first day so I can just get it over with and be happy. Who knows what I'm talking about? Man, I got to tell you this. I have a little black Ford Fiesta. Cute little car. I enjoy driving it. When I push the horn, it goes, Rita! It's really good. But anyway, I love my little Ford. And my daughter, Savannah, talked me into allowing her to get this German Shepherd dog. And she begged me for it. And in a moment of weakness, I'm going to tell you something. You know this because you have a daughter. If you talk to your daughter and you go into the meeting knowing you're going to say no, and you don't want to say yes, talk to her in the dark. In the dark. Turn the light out. Because the minute they look at you and go, please, Daddy, you're done. You're going to be like, no, of course you can't, honey. I'm sorry. She begged me for this dog. I told her no. I said, we're not going to get this dog. No. I said, we don't need another dog, and it's going to be a lot of trouble. No. About 2 hours later, I was driving home with this dog, put it in the yard. And this dog, you ever see a dog that's like a year old but thinks it's like 6 months old and thinks it's like a puppy? And a dog that's big but thinks it's a lap dog? That is Harley. Harley thinks he's a lap dog, and he thinks he's perpetually a little puppy. And he never met anything he doesn't like to chew up. Some dogs come up to you with a little stick. He comes up to me with logs in his mouth. I mean logs. Like this, he'll come walking up to me. I'll come out in the yard and he's chewed up tree limbs. It's crazy. And my cat, I have a cat, and that's Adriana's fault. I have a cat. Another situation where I said, no, we don't need a cat. When we were at Orlando Baptist Temple, a cat showed up one day, and somebody dropped it off, I guess. And my daughter found it on recess. And then the rest of the day, it started. Dad, we need a cat. We need a cat. We need a cat. So we had this cat named Tiger Lily. Now, she is an awesome cat, and I've grown to really love her. But Tiger Lily and Harley don't really get along very well. They don't like each other. And so, apparently, Tiger Lily likes to irritate Harley. She likes to get up on places where he can't get and just make him mad. Her mere presence makes him angry. You know what I'm saying? And she'll get up there and just look at him. You know that look cats have, like you're stupid? Yeah, cats look at everybody like they're stupid. Every cat does. They have that look. Well, she'll sit up there and look at Harley. Harley's just going crazy, foaming at the mouth. Well, apparently I made the mistake. Sometimes we have to put Harley on a leash out in the yard, and sometimes he'll want to get out and roam the neighborhood and greet his neighbors and chase their chickens. But anyway, I've met some of my neighbors, though. That's on the positive. But apparently Tiger Lily got on top of my car, and I had parked my car next to the little fence. We have a little fence inside of our yard. Well, Harley just steps right over it. He doesn't even, like it's not even there. Well, apparently her being on top of the car angered him.
Oh, no.
And he went after her. I come out the next morning. He tore my license plate off the front of my car. I had scratches and gouges and teeth. He tried to chew the bumper off my car. Now, Robert and Andy usually are sitting right over here. They've got my car. They just had to repaint the thing. And Dan Wickham, you saw what the damage was. Am I exaggerating this at all? I had to literally take my license plate, and it was literally hanging by just a little bit of a screw, and it was bent almost all the way around. We had to bend it back and pop it back in place. You saw that, didn't you? Yeah, it was bad. Well, I don't know how I got on this, but in any case, sometimes something can bring you joy. And that new car you have, man, it may bring you happiness, but after stuff like that happens, you know what it becomes? A car payment. Just becomes a car payment. And you find out that a car doesn't bring you joy. It can bring you happiness. You find out people can bring you happiness, but they don't bring you joy. Who brings you joy? Christ. Where does joy abide? In the heart of the born-again person. Joy does not come and go. Joy abides. Now, does that mean you don't ever get depressed? No, because that's your happiness factor. Happiness comes and goes. Happiness, you can be happy in one day, and then you can suddenly be angry or mad. That is an emotion that can come and often is appropriate depending on what is stimulating it. I mean, there are times it's appropriate to be sad. Times it's appropriate to be mad. Times it's appropriate to be, you know, whatever other emotion is applicable. But you know what? You can have a bad day and be sad today. Now here's the kicker on this. And still have joy in your heart. You can go to the doctor and find out that you've got a serious illness and be sad and worried. Your happiness affected today. But still find joy in your salvation. joy in the promise of God, joy in the loved ones that are around you, joy in the things that you hold dear. Beloved, listen to me. Some of you struggle with sadness, and it's okay, but don't ever lose fact that there is a permanent joy inside there, a river of joy that is running through you, and you've got to, at some point, realize that happiness comes and goes depending on how the day goes, but that joy is permanent when you base it in the promises of Jesus. And in that joy, we can smile even on days that are hard. Learn to smile. Smiles are beautiful. Smiles are comforting. Smiles are contagious. Let me give you a second thought here. Make your world a better place. Listen to me. Put this to the test. Kids, come to school not next week. Don't come up here. Don't come. We're not going to be up here. And now we go back to that word joy. No school next week. Now we go back to happiness. School will start again the Monday after. When you come back to school, Stephen, just practice smiling. Practice smiling. Just walk around smiling. Teachers may think you're doing something wrong. You're probably going to get some talkings too. But you're going to notice this. If you sit in a group of people and you smile, you're going to notice that the people in that little group, it's going to be happier because you're there. And you've done something for them. You've helped them in the middle of navigating things that can be hard. Just by doing nothing but just smiling. Just smiling. Coming to school and smiling. Coming to work and smiling. Just smile. When you're standing in line at HEB, smile at people. You'll find that you're making that little world a better place for a moment. Learn to smile. Number two, you want to make the world a better place around you. Seek to care about others. Seek to care about others. Preacher, what are you talking about? Make people around you feel like they matter. Make people around you feel like they matter. One of the biggest complaints we see in the world today is people say, I'm lonely. No one cares about me. No one notices me. We live in a world where people are all around us, and you can be alone in the middle of a room full of people. And people work hard often to make you feel that you don't even exist. I'm amazed at people who don't ever feel the need to make people in the room with them feel noticed. It's, I don't know if it's some huge chore to say hello or good morning or good day or hi, how are you? But we live in a world where people just stare. And when they meet people, they'll look to the corners of the hall so they don't even have to make eye contact, lest they have to speak and be courteous. And, you know, do whatever you want, but you're not making the world a better place when you act like everybody in your life is invisible. Am I right? How many of you like to be ignored? Do you like it? You know, one of the worst things in a marriage counseling situation you'll run into is when a mate says, I feel ignored by my mate. Sometimes people will have a big old fight in an argument just so they're not ignored. People don't like to be ignored. Treated like they're not there. Treated like they don't matter. Treated like they're not worth the breath that it would take to acknowledge them. And you do whatever you want, but if you want to make the world a better place, seek to notice people around you. Make everybody that you come in contact with feel that you notice them and that they are somebody to you and that they're important. I was reading about how Queen Victoria was on the throne during the political careers of two great but drastically different leaders. One was the very charismatic and charming Benjamin Disraeli, and the other was the brilliant and bold William Gladstone, two men that served several terms as Prime Minister of England, and they lived at the same time as each other, and Queen Victoria was on the throne during their times as Prime Ministers. These men both had very strong followings, but for very different reasons, and they shared a great dislike for each other. Now, once the Queen was asked her opinion of these two leaders, and she said this, "When I have a meeting with William Gladstone, I leave his presence and I feel that I just had lunch with the most interesting person in the entire world. She said, when I have lunch with Mr. Disraeli, I leave his presence and he has made me feel like he just had lunch with the most interesting and smart person in the world. And that was the difference in these two men's personas. One man made you feel interesting. The other person made you interested in them. I'm saying, hey, you want to make the world around you a better place? Make that person at work that doesn't really have any bearing on your life feel like they're at least interesting. Make that student at school that maybe isn't the most popular feel like you at least notice them. And you're making someone's world a better place. And it's not that hard to do. Make that person at church that may have that awkward personality, who maybe isn't the one to break the ice, but comes in and sits down. Make that person feel noticed. Make that person feel important. Make that person feel part of the family. And when you do that, you're making the world around you a better place. Seek to be interested in people. Seek to learn about them, rather than to educate them about you. And remember them. Acknowledge them. You know, one of the best things you can do is remember somebody's name. Isn't that powerful? One of my frustrations, when I was a boy, I lived in Arkansas, and it was a smaller town. You could go into restaurants, and the servers always remembered you. How many of you remember when it was like that? You could walk in, and they'd say, hey, Pastor Riggs, and it was my dad. You know, they'd have a table for us, and you're going to get the usual. And we went to those restaurants, and they remembered us. And the boss would come out from the back, the manager, walk over to the table and chat with you for a second. And you'd walk into your barber, and they'd remember your name. And, you know, you could go into the grocery store, and people there knew you. I guess it's because we all live in a big city. But, man, it's like you can go into the same McDonald's 5,000 times, and nobody ever, every time you walk in, it's like it's your first time. And I miss sometimes being remembered. Having somebody treat you like you're not just customer number 8,000 that walked in the door today. People like to be remembered. People like to be noticed. People like to feel that you're special. I remember one of my great frustrations. Can I just vent for a second? Can y'all let me vent? John, you ready for me to vent? All right, here we go. We used this trophy store for 18 years in Orlando. It's a trophy shop. And about five times a year, we ordered large amounts of trophies, sometimes to the tunes of thousands of dollars for our school, the youth camp, our sports programs. We hosted several tournaments. So we were in there all the time. And one time, after about like 16 years of going there, we ordered trophies for a school award ceremony, several thousand dollars. And right before the ceremony, the morning of, we realized we left off one very important trophy. It didn't get ordered. So I called the lady that we've dealt with for 16 years. Of course, she acts like she has no clue who I am. You just hear her clicking away, trying to find your file, you know. And I said, I want to order this trophy that we forgot. She said, well, you got to come in and pay for it first, and then we'll make it, and then you can pick it up. And I said, ma'am, we've got like 4 hours, and you're like 45 minutes away from me one way. Can't you just go ahead and do it? I promise you we're going to come in and pay for it. She said, no, sir, that's not our policy. You have to come in and pay for it. Now, I know it's policy, but I got mad. And I'm like, ma'am, we've been coming in there for... You really think I'm going to stiff you for a $6 trophy? She would not print that trophy. We ended up driving all that. And then she said this. I said, ma'am, we've been a good customer for 16 years there. You can't do this one thing? She said, sir, I treat all of our customers the same. Now, I know I shouldn't have said it. The flesh got me, I guess. But I said, ma'am, maybe you shouldn't. Maybe you shouldn't treat every one of them the same. You should treat them all good, but some customers are better than other customers. Some customers are more loyal. Some customers are more faithful. Some customers come in. When there's 57 trophy shops in this town and I come back to y'all year after year and four or five times a year. I'm going to tell you, I hung up the phone and as a customer, I didn't feel appreciated, Didn't feel our business mattered. Didn't feel it would ever matter. Now, again, some of you are judging me right now. Well, if you ran a trophy store, you would understand. And I get it. I do know. They've probably been burned a lot. And I get it. But I do know this. I like it when people at least try to remember who I am and at least treat me like they're glad to see me. I like it when a server remembers me from the last time I was there. I like it when a company works hard to try to remember their customers. Hey, it's a simple thing, but you try to care about people around you. Notice them. Try to remember their name. Try to speak to them. It's a simple thing, but I think you'll agree with me. When people do it for you, it makes your world a better place. Amen? Amen. Let me give you a third thought. How do you make the world a better place? Discover the power of praise. Discover the power of praise. Say it with me. This power of praise, such an important thing. You know, everybody likes to be praised. Is that a true statement? Now, maybe it's awkward. Maybe it's a little embarrassing. And maybe you don't really want public praise, but people do like to be acknowledged. And people like to hear good job once in a while. You know, even a dog likes to be praised. How many of you are dog owners? You know, I own 5 dogs. Isn't that crazy? By the way, Savannah ended up moving to Germany and left me with Harley. But anyway, if you're watching, Savannah, you may get a package in the mail in the next few months. A big, big, big box with holes in it. I come out there to my dogs. They'll be laying there. I look at them and I'll go, come here, boy. And I'll go, you're a good dog. You're a good dog. And I'll start, you know what they do? You start petting them and saying, you're a good boy. They start jumping them down. And that mouse are... They start snorting. You're like, you're a good boy. You're a good boy. And the more you do it, the more riled up they get. Oh, yeah. Yep. Even a dog can understand the importance of being praised.
That's right. They praise us all.
Yep. Hey, listen to me. People in your life like to be praised by you. They like to hear things that make them feel good. And I don't know why people are so stingy with it. I mean, men, when was the last time you told your wife she cooked something good? You're like, well, the last time she cooked something good. Hey, that kind of thinking doesn't make the world a better place. Man, there's power in praise. Just simply telling people good job and complimenting them and finding things to make them feel good. Let me give you this real quick. This, you got to encourage people. People need encouragement. People need encouragement. Praise is a great way to encourage people. Now, I will say that sometimes trying to encourage people can get you into trouble. Amen. Heard about a guy that was trying to encourage his wife to lose some weight. I hadn't even got to the point, and already y'all are waving me off. My wife's going, abort, abort. This man was trying to encourage his wife to lose some weight. So he got this idea. He went out and he bought her a beautiful, expensive dress. But he bought it 2 sizes too small. And he gave it to her and he said, honey, I can't wait to see you in this. Well, she knew what he was up to. So she returned the favor. 2 weeks later, it was his birthday and she bought a casket and gave him the same sentiment. I heard about a pastor that recently encouraged his entire congregation to go get acupuncture. You know why? He wanted them to be more holy. Oh. do what you can. You do what you can. Whatever works. We need to be encouragers of people, refreshers, as the Bible calls it. Refreshers. Praising people, encourages them, makes them feel good. It makes them feel noticed. And I want to encourage you to be an encourager. Find things in people. Now, that old saying, if you don't have something good to say, don't say anything at all, is really a good, sound wisdom. And I don't want you to be insincere. Don't be complimenting when it's obviously not, you know, going to be received good. But compliment and be sincere in it. But when somebody is a blessing to you, speak that to them. Relay that to them. I'm just about out of time here. Let me give you this real quickly here. Next point, if you want to make the world around you a better place, find the humor in life. Find the humor in life. Simply put, learn how to laugh. We're a church that loves to laugh, which is probably why God gave me to you and you to me. I like to laugh, and I don't mean I had sad times and sad days and down times and frustrating times, but I do love to laugh, and I've learned that laughter, as somebody wrote one time, laughter is the best medicine. I've learned laughter is a medicine. The Bible says that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Somebody wrote that a laugh is just a smile that lost control. Somebody else wrote, as long as you can laugh at yourself, you will never cease to be amused. Amen. Somebody else wrote, surround yourself with people that make you laugh, because laughter is to the soul what sunshine is to flowers. There's some good wisdom there. I would love to be sunshine to someone's life by simply being a laugher, by helping them laugh. Somebody else wrote this. I like this. Laughter is like a windshield wiper. It doesn't stop the storm, but it does help us to keep going through the storm. I like that. I remember one time where this really played into effect. Christy and I had been extremely slammed. Very busy. We had gone weeks and weeks where it was just 7 day a week events and things going on. Finally, we got it was a 3 day weekend. We had that Monday off. So we made plans that we wanted to go to the river. I had a little 14 foot John boat, little 15 horsepower Evinrude on the back of it. And we hadn't ran it in a long time, but we decided we want to go to the river. So I got up that morning, walked out there, and of course I hadn't used it since duck season. It's now beginning of the summer, so it was covered and full of leaves that had fallen. So I had to get out there that morning for us to be able to leave. We were planning to try to hit the river by about 9 a.m. So about 7 a.m., I'm out there trying to clean all these leaves out of it, and just bushels of leaves. So I spent the morning doing it. Then I decided, man, I haven't ran this, so I better give it a quick tune-up. I'm going to go put a new spark plug in it. And I knew at 8 a.m., the little auto store up in Apopka would open up. So I told Christy, I said, I'll be back in just a few minutes. I'm going to run up here and get a spark plug, and I'm going to put a new plug in it, do some other things to it, then I help it run better. Now, I had already been working on it for quite a while, getting it cleaned up. I ran up to a pop gun, and it hadn't even opened yet. I got there, it was like 3 minutes till 8. I pull up, and there's my car. And then on the other side of the parking lot, there is the guy who works there's car. And then right after I pulled up, in this huge parking lot, a lady pulled up and parked right next to me. I didn't think nothing about it. Went inside, waited for the door to unlock a few minutes, went in, told him what I needed, gave him the old spark plug. It took him a few minutes to get it. I paid for it. I was only in there like 4 minutes. I come walking out, and there's 3 ambulances and 2 fire trucks parked behind my car. We're the only 2 cars in the whole parking lot, and they've got me boxed in. Come to find out, that lady was having some kind of dizziness, and she called 911, and they sent like the entire fleet out to get her. I don't know. And I mean, there was no getting out. They were parked right behind me. So I just had to sit down on the parking block and wait. And it took them like an hour. So I come home. Christy's like, where in the world have you been? I said, oh, you're not going to believe what happened. Whole parking lot, huge parking lot. And there's just me and one other car. But she had an episode and had to call, and she was fine. But they did come out and check on her. So that way you don't feel like I'm being heartless. She was fine. Then I go back, and I put the spark plug in, and I put the little flipper thing on the bottom, and I turned the water hose on. I started. It started right up. I said, man, we're good to go. So then we get to the river. Now it's like 10:30 a.m. by the time we get there. We're supposed to be there by about 9. The day is getting away pretty quick. You know that feeling? And I get out there. And I, of course, trying to hurry. There were a few other boats in line, and it was my turn. I'm going to tell you something. For the Odom, it's very hard to back a boat up when people are watching you. Is that true? Man, I got that thing jackknifed about 4 times and had to get out there and straighten it up. Finally, and people are laughing at me. Christy gets out as I get it right down to the edge. Christy gets out and she goes ahead and gets in the boat, and I hand her a rope and I say, whenever I back it in, it'll float off, and you throw me the rope and I'll tie it off, then I'll pull the trailer up and you just sit there till I come back. So we put all the stuff in there, the cooler and everything. I back the boat up. I pull the trailer up about 15 foot up on the ramp. I get out and I look, and Christy's sitting there and stuff's starting to float up and out of the boat. I forgot to put the plugs in. She's just sitting there like, honey, I think there's a problem, something wrong. And she's just sitting in, water's just gushing in, stuff's starting to flow. I'm like, oh man. So then I got to try to back the thing back up. And once again, I'm jackknifing it and I can't seem to get it straight. People are laughing at me. I finally get it down. I get the boat drug up on it, pull it back up on the shore, and it takes it about 45 minutes for all that water to leak out that little plug. It somehow comes in a lot faster than it goes out. All right. Then I get that all situated. Christy gets back in the boat. I back her back down in there. Pull the trailer up, go park it. I come back. And this is a holiday day, so it's full. There's people everywhere. I step off the dock into the boat. To try to step into it, the boat starts drifting away. I'm doing like the Elvis splits here, man. And I'm trying to get in without falling over. And the boat's going further away. Because we only had it tied on the front, not on the back. Next thing you know, I'm like this. All of a sudden, I hear this. My swim trunks gave up the ghost, man. I mean, they ripped. And there was not, and I'm not talking a little rip. I'm talking complete and utter destruction here. And I'm like, oh, people around. So Christy goes, ah, oh, she screams, throws me a towel. I wrap the towel around me, and I look like some Hawaiian in a lava on the beach, you know. Got this skirt thing on, you know. It's a beach towel. So I get in the boat. Now, you know how you know in your heart you need to call it done, just go home. But you're now too deep in it, and you can't say surrender. Now it's become personal. We get out in the boat, and I push away. And I get up there, and I start pulling that rope. Christy's like, honey, we're drifting away. I said, it'll start, honey. Don't worry about it. The river's now got us. We're going down the river. A boat comes by, and I'm up there. I mean, I'm soaked in sweat now. My lava on. Muscles rippling. That part's not true. I'm pulling that thing. I'm... And this guy says, you need me to tow you in? I said, no, man, it'll start. I'll be all right. I drift down about a half a mile. Another guy comes by. You need me to help tow you in? I said, man, we'll be all right. It'll start. And I'm tinkering with it. On about the 35th pull, I go like this to pull, and the rope comes off in my hand. And it started raining. Am I right? Started raining suddenly. And I'm drifting down the river. And I mean, I've already told like 4 people that I don't need a tow. I've already said like 4 people, I'm going to be good. I'll get it started. Now I'm drifting down the river and there's not a soul in sight. It's raining and I didn't see a boat anywhere. And I was, of course, drifted downstream from where the ramp was. I had this one paddle that I've had for a long time. I get it out, start to paddle, and about the 4th paddle, the thing, the whole bottom of it breaks off. Now, my wife's sitting here. Call me a liar if I'm making this up. Well, my wife's sitting there. I'm in the back of the boat. She's in the front. She's just watching me. I'm soaked in sweat and rainwater, holding the end of a busted paddle, looking at the bottom of the boat where there's a busted pull string. And suddenly, I have what my wife calls a rust fit. I throw the thing down and sit down, and I start just throwing up. I'm having a cow. And I'm mad. I mean, you could see steam rising off of me in the rain. And I'm just like, what in the world? All of a sudden, and I kid you not, at my worst hour, there I am. I look up, and I see my wife sitting there in the front of the boat, and she just goes, And I said, are you laughing? Are you laughing? And she went, just started dying laughing. Now she's laughing so hard that she slides into the floor of the boat, and she's laughing so hard. And I'm sitting there getting madder about this. I'm like, then all of a sudden, I just started laughing with her. Next thing you know, we were both just literally laughing so hard and laying in the boat. And you know, we ended up getting a guy to tow us back up, and I got the boat out. We went and had a beautiful lunch together and went on and had a good day. Had a good day. Amen. Our swimsuit was burial at sea. It was done. Burial at sea. No. I had some clothes back in the truck, or it's not a pair of sweatpants and a t-shirt. Y'all are focusing on the wrong part of the story here. But we ended up just laughing, and we've laughed about that and laughed about that. At the end of the day, we were refreshed, even though it was such a horrible day. And you know, there was no change in the circumstances, but laughter changed it from bad to good. The ability to laugh. Yes. And you know what, beloved, I don't know. Y'all go through some horrible things, and I pray with you and counsel with you, and I know they're horrible things. But I'm going to tell you, the power of laughter in your life could get you through a lot of horrible things. And sometimes all you can do is just laugh at it. Sometimes all you can do is just laugh. Say, what next? Don't ever ask what next. I got about four of the points, but we're out of time, so let's bow for a word of prayer. How do you make the world a better place? I've given you some simple things you can do. You can make the world around you. The people that share this planet with you, you can make it a better place for them. And man, these are just simple things that you can put to practice in your life immediately. Make your world a better place. Make the people who share this world with you a better place. And it takes practice. I'm not perfect at all these things. My wife and kids are here. They'll tell you sometimes, I need to laugh. And sometimes I'm not good to laugh when I need to laugh. But you know what? I do try to work at it. I want to encourage you to work at it. And sometimes we let our moods become the method. I don't want to be ruled by a mood. I want to be ruled by character. I don't want people to judge my mood by how I treat them. I want people, no matter how I'm feeling on the inside, to leave my presence feeling good. And that takes work, and I'm not always successful at it, but I try, and I hope that you'll try. Because I think that we've got to work to make this world a good place. We share it together. If we'll work at it, we can help improve it. Is there anyone here today that could say, Pastor Riggs, I don't know that I'm saved, but I want to be saved. Preacher, I want that joy that you spoke about, that joy that's inner joy that comes with peace that passes all understanding, that only comes through knowing Jesus as your Savior. And that joy can be there when the doctor gives you bad news. And that joy can be there when you get bad news about other people. And that joy can be there when life is disappointing. But it comes from knowing Jesus. Is there anyone that could say, Preacher, would you pray for me because I need Jesus as my Savior? If you'll just slip your hand up and put it back down, I'll pray for you. And I won't embarrass you, I promise you that. All of us had a time that we had to raise our hand to that. But then the Lord fixed it. When God saves you, He saves all of you. And for all time, it's a wonderful thing. I don't know how the message speaks to you and what you'll even remember from it. But I do hope you'll go out this week and start putting to practice these simple things that I gave you today to make your world a better place. Put it to practice. Put it to the test. See if it doesn't improve the atmosphere that you have to live in. The people you work with, go to school with, your family that you'll spend time with this week. I hope that you'll put it to work. Dear Lord, I pray that you'll hear the prayers of your children. And Lord, I pray that in a moment when I ask them to stand, there's going to be an altar open to them. Many of them have got traveling ahead of them. I'm going to encourage them to come and pray for safety and travel. Some of them have loved ones coming to see them, and I'm going to encourage them to pray. Some of them have got burdens and needs in their life, worries, and things that although it affects their happiness, they need to find that inner joy. I pray that they'll come to this altar and get that inner joy that comes from you, that flows freely from you. And prayer is a great conductor to find that joy. I pray that they'll come up here and find it. And I pray, Lord, that you would just let them leave this altar strengthened and encouraged, knowing that from their lips to your ears, this message has been delivered to the one who cares and can make a difference. We ask this in Jesus' name.